This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Locate AMI Audio from your TV. Eastlink, channel 887 in Atlantic Canada. And Bell, channel 49 around the country. Visit AMI.ca/schedules for a list of channel locations in your area. Kelly McDonald here, host of the program in the London, Ontario home studio, while Ramya is in the home studio in Toronto.
Kels, we're going to learn about some cool stuff going on with accessibility for the blind and low vision community right now. A Mohawk College student is developing a creative way to raise awareness for accessibility in the blind, low vision community. And we're speaking with someone in the Greater Toronto Area, GTA, a accessible media production student. I got to be sure not to say Accessible Media Inc. here. Accessible media production student, Rachel Brown. Rachel, thanks for coming on Kelly and Company. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So let's start off with your schooling, because we're excited to learn about the project, but we want to get some background. So the schooling and the program that you're involved with, what kind of subjects do you cover in accessible media productions?
Yeah, so we're just finishing off our final project for the Accessible Media Production Program at Mohawk College. So we learn a little bit of most aspects of accessible media production. We've learned about captioning, described video. We've learned about accessibility legislation, assistive technology, lots of different things. And then it ends with a capstone project, which is where we kind of bring together all of our learning. And then we're actually going to be doing our capstone showcase on Thursday, and then that will be the end of our course.
Well, good luck, of course, with the capstone on Thursday. But what made you want to get into a program like this?
That's a really good question. I've always been really interested in accessible media production. I have low vision myself, so it's always been an area of passion for me. And I've been working with people who are blind and partially sighted for a long time, but I was always more interested. Well, as I got into the field, I became interested in some of the technology, assistive technology, and just, you know, looking at more the digital accessibility as well. So it was just another way for me to kind of develop my skills and look at a new area of learning.
It's interesting because you come from the lived experience as well, right? So that's always something that puts people kind of ahead of the game, I guess, when it comes to creating and also just educating ourselves. So your project has to do with described video and the lack of standards surrounding described video. So why did you specifically want to tackle this as a project?
It wasn't initially what I was going to do, but I was kind of encouraged to do something that was outside of my comfort zone by Jennifer, who is our program coordinator at Mohawk. And she had suggested this topic. And I'm not really an expert in described video, or I wasn't until I started to take the program, and nor am I really an expert in social media. So this was a way to kind of really push myself to do something a little bit different. So that's how I got into it. And once I started to explore it, I really became interested in the project and really became interested in learning more about described video and about producing an accessible social media campaign. So that's kind of how it came about for me.
Rachel, can we put that out there too in a sec here? Maybe mention the social media, see out on Twitter, and trying to get kind of feedback from us out there who are consuming the content in that form and saying, oh, this works, this doesn't. What type of standards or like thereof have you found here in Canada?
Well, it's been really interesting because I've kind of, what I've done with the campaign is taken testimonials and videos from people who use described video.
Right.
And I've really used that to start a conversation. So this is really just the starting point of the campaign. So it was interesting to talk to people who are blind or partially sighted and get their feedback on why described video is so important, because it's not just a nice to have. It really is a need to have for people who are watching shows, going to the theatre, enjoying movies and that type of thing. So that's really where it's at right now. And also just looking at that there are really at the moment no consistent standards across the board. I mean, obviously, AMI is an industry leader in described video, but there's so many with online streaming of content. There's so many things that go out there that are not described and are not accessible. So this was really to try and raise awareness for accessible video content. So that's kind of how it came about, really. And it's been really interesting to hear people speak about how important high-quality described video is for them.
I bet. That's nice. That's really nice to hear. And you're using some of those in your capstone presentation?
Yeah. So I've got some testimonials. I have some videos that people have produced that I've added into. It's a Twitter feed that I've done. And we're using the hashtag DVandMe. So people can use that hashtag to share their experiences and their comments about described video and why it's important to them.
Oh, that's amazing. A real kind of open way for people to interact with the conversation. So I want to ask a bit of a comparison question, because when we think of accessibility, especially at least for myself, when I think of accessibility for videos, there's, of course, described video or audio description available. And that's how I would find accessibility there. But for our friends in the deaf and hard of hearing community, we think of closed captioning. Are there comparisons or conversations around DV in comparison to closed captioning and the availability or at least the standardizations of these two processes of access? Are there conversations happening around this for your project?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because what the research that I did showed was that closed captioning is more readily available and more standardized than described video. And of course, it's great that closed captioning is so available, but I think it's also really important that described video is up there too, because right now, really described video is only required during prime time viewing. And that came into effect in 2019. But really, people don't just watch TV during prime time, and it's really important to try and get the word out that described video should be readily available, not just in those prime time hours, but across, you know, all of the viewing time, as well as also movies and anything else that's out there as well. So, yeah, I think, you know, thinking about captioning versus described video, there is an inconsistency there, and I think that's a really important conversation.
I think with the different rules of, and I say rules, the exceptions that have had to be made for availability from the networks in the United States, for example, even that is so compromised as to how soon or at which running of a program are we going to see, you know, have our video description, where closed captioning, so much has been done for decades now, where the community is kind of so behind that way. And I don't know, Rachel, what we as individuals who rely and need it, were there any discussions that you've had with people on what role can we take?
Yeah, and I think that's why starting a conversation is important. And that's what I was hoping to do with this campaign. Is I'm not going to be able to change things overnight, but if at least we can start this conversation to say, you know, described video is also really necessary and really important, and that we need to get moving on this. I think the more people that can get on board with that, then the more likely we are to kind of create that change. So hopefully that's what the project will aim to do.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, even just the preliminary of figuring out what people are feeling about described video, you know, is the education out there? Are we thinking of it as, oh yeah, I know this as an accessibility feature along with closed captioning? I mean, when we turn on primetime television and you hear that line of closed captioning provided by or audio description provided by, do people understand what that means and who it's helping and things like that? You're probably getting a whole variety of the exposure, right, that described video gets here in Canada.
Yeah, definitely. And that was one of the things that came up when we were doing our end user testing as well, was that I was talking to people who are blind and partially sighted and getting their feedback. And one of the things that came up was the issue around access as well. So they would hear that message that Describe Video is available. But then mm-hmm. one of the issues and challenges was, well, how do we find that? Where do we go to get that? And the access right. piece, even if the high quality Describe Video is there, it depends on the service provider and it depends on the technology that each person has as to how they can go in and access that. And sometimes the technology is not accessible either. So that's another challenge too.
Yeah, 100%. We've talked a bit about navigating television sets and that being one side of it, but also when there's all these privately owned streaming services and how, yes, we're keen on finding out in the community which services we should tackle or we should subscribe to because they offer a lot of described content. But are we talking about the accessibility of the actual navigation of getting through and exploring and browsing through the content also? So for sure, so many pieces to explore, Rachel. And I'm curious, mm-hmm. is a lot of this coming out on the social media side of the campaign also?
Yes. So it's starting to. So I'm putting together some of the testimonials and some of the videos. So all of these pieces are coming out, as well as I'm putting together some videos and samples as well. I have some really great samples from AMI of Describe Video as well that I've shared too on there. So it's kind of a mixture of videos, retweets, testimonials, just the whole selection of things to try and raise awareness for Describe Video.
Excellent. And where can we go for more information or to get involved before we wrap up?
So the Twitter handle is @DVQuality. And the hashtag that I've developed is DV and me, so Describe Video and me, where you can actually use that hashtag to share your own testimonials and videos as well.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Rachel, thank you for coming on Kelly and Company, for giving us the breakdown of your project, and good luck with everything.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me.
We were speaking with Mohawk College Accessible Media Production student Rachel Brown about her creative way to raise awareness for accessibility in the blind and partially sighted community.
Good luck. Capstone, the presentation, really wonderful when people get into these conversations, which is what we mm-hmm. really have to have, Rum. It's just to give us the feel, what we're looking for, what we hope. We'll take a break. It's hour two of Kelly and Company, and we're going to cover swimsuits on our fashion talk with Kia Osborne. On our collection segment that we're going to get to, Debbie Williams will be telling us all about her love for music boxes. But up next, Edmonton Community Reporter Wade Brown highlights the International Children's Festival of the Arts. Stand by.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.